Catherine took it to town. Thank you.
Guys, I think we finally got it figured out. Everything's a little loud. Everything is a little loud, but that is okay.
There we go.
That is okay. Everybody all good?
It sounds good now.
Alrighty.
Good. We are
finally,
ready.
Thank you to Russell Smith, Christopher Gabriel, and his brother-in-law for bringing us the jetpack that we so dearly needed. Shout out to you guys.
Definitely buying them all a beer.
Absolutely. They all deserve one. Christopher Gabriel, he's got him a cold one. Russell's got him a cold one. Everybody's got a cold one. Everybody is happy. Pete Carp is on site. A lot of people showing up. Appreciate everybody coming out. Guys, so we got to start breaking down this game. All right. So we all know that we're not going to have Cedric Tillman. Yeah. Everybody's well aware of that.
Yes.
So we've heard questionable all week. I don't think we're going to see him tomorrow. I think everybody's pretty much under that assumption. Now, like I said earlier in the broadcast, we have a chance to get some exposure to some of these other guys. Do you move Jalen Hyatt out to where Cedric Tillman was, or do you move Brew McCoy into that position, since I feel like they're basically the same player anyway?
If it were me, I don't know. I'm struggling with that. But Brew McCoy has not been as electric as I expected him to be. I don't know if they would rather leave him out there, give him one more chance, or just switch him just for the simple fact to try him out at that new spot. If it were me making the call, I would switch it. I would throw Brew in there instead and just see how he performs there. You know, he's super physical. I think it'd be at least a good try for the first half, just to see how it works, and maybe switch up at halftime if it's not.
Absolutely. I mean, let's not pretend we don't have a Ramel Keaton or a Squirrel White that we can throw in there as well. And even a Walker Merrill, who is somebody that has stepped up, you know, when we had to put Joe Milton in as quarterback and we get up, you know, about 30, 40 points, however much we do. Walker Merrill comes in the game, and Walker Merrill has kind of impressed me in that role. And that might be a role that he is willing to take on, at least until we can get Cedric Tillman back.
Absolutely. But like Lowe said, I would just switch over Brew McCoy into Cedric Tillman's position. Just for the first half, try it out. I mean, obviously, Brew McCoy is no Cedric Tillman, but they have the same body type. They don't have any breakaway speed. They both have the same body type, like I just said. They can go up, catch it, and I would try it out for the first half. If you don't get any pop or there's no splash, maybe put in Squirrel White. Just put Squirrel White into Cedric's position or move him over. Either way, I don't know. But
I mean, in that situation, do what you need to do. I mean, you just made a really good point. Cedric Tillman, Brew McCoy, basically the same guy. They're not going to have that breakaway speed, but if you need him to go up and get a ball, they're just going to go up and get it.
Absolutely. I mean, both huge guys for receivers. So, yeah, you get down the end zone, lob it up to one of those two, you're going to get a touchdown. So,
well, one thing I was thinking about, too, after you guys just talked is, you know, Hooker and Tillman have got the chemistry going on, but Hooker and Brew McCoy have been a little bit off early. So if you switch him into that slot, it might just start working. So definitely a thought to go with that in the first half, I think.
Absolutely. Let's go back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Hillbilly Bopper is up next. What's up, Hillbilly Bopper?
What's all going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
I'm sitting here hanging out at Hops and Hollers, bringing some beers. Ready for tomorrow and ready for a big win.
Yes, I am too. Very anxious. I'm heading up from Atlanta with my oldest daughter and ready to make some memories tomorrow. Some good memories. Better than the Georgia memories have been the past few years. But yeah, we're heading up, getting in late tonight. Going to try and get up, hit it early tomorrow. I was going to ask, where is the tailgate going to be in the morning?
So, whoa, where are you tailgating?
Oh, man. Well, we've got the Tennessee tailgate going on 9/11, so make sure to tune in for that. But after that, I guess I'm going to head straight down here. I have a G17 parking pass, but I have about three or four tailgates that I have to hit in a G10. And so I'm going to hit those first. And then I do have some people down at Vol Navy that are also want me to come down. So I'm not sure where I will be. But I am going to try to make all of them. I will try to make all of them. Vol Navy, about four in G10. There is a ton in G10. You know, bring your own beer, bring your own alcohol. But, yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, I'm thinking about just trying to find some friends of my own. I just didn't know, apart from game day, because I know it's going to be a madhouse either way. I did have a question, guys. Florida's got that edge rusher. I can't think of his name right now, but
Brent Cox.
You guys see Brent Cox? Okay. What do you guys? Do you guys have any concerns about that at all with our offensive line the way it's been this year?
I don't have any concerns at all. I think that, you know, we got the offensive scheme. We got the game plan coming in to pick that apart and just make it happen. Because, I mean, here's the thing. Josh Heupel can send Billy Napier our offense. He can send him our defense because it's not about what we do. It's about how we do it. And the way that he does it, he's able to exploit so many teams. I mean, you even take it in spurts last year. You look at what we did against Alabama. You know, we were sitting there. It's like, oh, my God, these guys are actually making stuff happen. Down in Tuscaloosa, it's like, what are we doing? Like, I hadn't felt that in forever. And now I finally see it again. It's like, okay, all right, we got some momentum here. So, yeah, I mean, that's the take that I've kind of got on that. It's not about what you do. It's about how you do it.
That's right. And that vibe's good. The vibe feels great, doesn't it, Jake? It feels awesome. This is a lot better. I mean, I'm so living in the 90s right now. I was 14 when we beat Florida in 98. Should have been at that game, but we were at the Arkansas game in 98. And I get those same vibes, man. It's those same feelings. I've been anxious all week, like you guys were talking about earlier. I haven't been able to sleep at all this week. I'm not a good sleeper anyways, but man, it's great to be on the spot again and to be where we are with Josh Heupel and the crew that we've got under Josh Heupel and the players we have under Josh Heupel. Man, we're all bought in. I mean, I've got friends and family all over the state of Tennessee and family here in Georgia and friends in Georgia, and everybody is like, look, get the win tomorrow and we'll all root for you. And I said, hey, we're going to. We're headed up that way. So, guys, appreciate you taking my call. And y'all have a good time. And Jake H can't be there tomorrow, buddy. But I know you'll be tuning in.
Oh, you know I'll be tuning in. Appreciate the call, Hillbilly Bopper. Let's keep it rolling. TJ, the Kentucky fan, is up next. What's up, TJ?
Hey, y'all are wearing orange tomorrow, right?
I am wearing a navy suit with a white button-down top. I'm not sure what color the tie is yet, but I know what I'm wearing. But none of it is Florida blue. That's all I know.
No. The football team, y'all's football team is wearing orange jerseys, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going with the classic look, going orange tops, white bottoms. And I think that's a statement of we don't need the gimmick. We don't have to come out and do anything spectacular. We can just go out in the orange and white, do what Tennessee does, do what Tennessee's capable of doing, and what people know us for doing. Like, that's just how Tennessee does it. We're just going to go out. We're going to wear the orange. We're going to wear the white. We're going to check our kneeling, and we are going to do what Tennessee does, and that's whip Florida's ass.
Well, aren't you supposed to wear black to a funeral? Because Florida's going to get their ass whooped tomorrow.
Well, I mean, you could call it a funeral, but it's going to be more of a funeral for Tennessee.
Save the black for LSU, Death Valley.
Oh, blackout LSU?
Yep.
That'd
go
be
dark
sick.
Against LSU, that'd be awesome.
Yep.
That'd be sick. But honestly, you're right, Jake. That does say a lot about it because we have so many huge recruits coming in, and we are just going classic. I love that.
11 5-stars tomorrow.
That is huge. Now, take that. We blow them out, and every last one of those 5-stars gets to see that. They get to see 101,900 people going crazy. You're going to get some instant commits.
Hey, I'm going to say Tennessee 47, Florida 17. Y'all enjoy your win tomorrow. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate it, TJ. That's actually very close to the one that I gave on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we're kind of all along the same lines here. Even TJ himself, you know, being a Kentucky fan, it's like, you know, Tennessee should win this game, and they should win it in a big, big way. Let's go back to the phones. Rusty is up next. What's up, Rusty?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Out here on the West Coast, so sick, can't make it in this weekend. Didn't get a chance to call Russ and Bear today either. Just want to tell all y'all, thank you so, so much. Keep rooting on for everybody out here that can't make it in. And after we win tomorrow, I'm jumping bare-ass naked in the Pacific Ocean to celebrate. Go Big Orange.
And Rusty has guaranteed a polar bear plunge with no draws into the Pacific Ocean. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way. Live from Hots and Holler, it is overtime. It is Fan Run Radio. It is DJ Lupe who has just entered the building. What's up, buddy?
Oh my God.
To see everybody coming out. We are less than 24 hours away. The day is almost here. One more wake up, guys. That's all it is.
I don't even know if it's going to be a wake up. I'm sitting here like, how am I going to go to sleep?
Don't do that, because I did that in 2012. So Tanner Carson, former host of Overtime, he decides he's going to be smart. He's going to go to sleep, right? I couldn't sleep. I did not sleep from 7 o'clock that morning. Keep in mind, I'm still a senior in high school. I wake up at about 6:30 that morning. I can't sleep. I'm like, all right, well, it's 4 o'clock. I'm driving down to Tanner's house. I call him, and he's like, what are you doing calling me? I'm like, we're going to College Game Day. So he just gets in the car. We go to College Game Day. I met Jalen Reeves-Maven when he was still a recruit.
Dang, that's cool.
So Jalen was a senior in high school when we met him. And then we proceed to go out and do what we did in the past.
Good way to put it.
It is what it is. I mean, College Game Day has done, I think, 5 Tennessee-Florida games. And we do have our guest picker for tomorrow.
So,
WWE superstar Bianca Belair, a University of Tennessee graduate. Bianca Belair. If you don't know who she is, I need you to look up Bianca Belair, WrestleMania hair whip. Her hair hangs down to the mat on the ring.
Hair whip?
Yes. Yes. Hair whip. And what she does, she takes her hair and then she just whips it across her opponent's stomach. And guys, I did wrestling lessons before. That's how redneck I am. Yeah. You can take the boy out of Campbell County, but you can't take the Campbell County out of the boy, in a sense. There's some stuff in wrestling that you can't fake, and that is one of the things that you cannot fake. The welts that were left on Becky Lynch's stomach after this match, I could not believe. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is real. This actually happened, and sure enough, it did.
Oh, I gotta watch it. Hold on.
So Bianca Belair is the guest picker for tomorrow's College Game Day. It's gonna be an interesting one. You know, we talked earlier in the season, guys, about how Lee Corso, and he's just not himself. He's not what he used to be. Is it time to retire him the way the WWE did Ric Flair?
Yes. I think they're, with the addition of Pat McAfee, because I think last week or 2 weeks ago was his first week, I think they're slowly just kind of pushing Pat McAfee in and slowly pulling Lee Corso out. I think that's going to be the new transition.
Yeah, I mean, it is really sad. Like, I would want to retire on the top end. I wouldn't want to just go downhill, you know? And so I think it just needs to be done sooner rather than later before it really gets bad. I mean, you don't want to lose all your credibility and respectability just to stay on as long as possible, you know?
And I mean, it's one of those things, like, we grew up with Lee Corso. Like, you turn on College Game Day when you're growing up through elementary school, middle school, high school, and even into your adulthood. Lee Corso is the face of College Game Day. Yeah, you got Kirk Herbstreit. You got all the other guys that have been on there before. But Lee Corso is the face of College Game Day. It's hard to let it go, but at the same time, you have to accept the fact that he is no longer what he was. You can't keep that going. You got to make something happen there. I don't know, you know, if you just do the Pat McAfee thing, just bring him in, make him wear the mascot hats, who knows? Nobody's really sure what to do. I mean, it is what it is, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know if anybody's going to be able to replicate what he does with the mascot heads, but I'm kind of interested to see who he's going to pick tomorrow, because I saw a clip from 2016. He did pick the Florida head with Smokey right in front of him, so pretty bold. But
in 2012, he picked the Smokey head. Mm. I was there for that. That was interesting.
Yeah.
Jake, how early were you there?
I'm kind of nervous.
At that game day?
What's that?
How early were you at
how
that game
was
day
I there for
in 2012? Yeah.
Oh, I made Tanner Carson get in the car at 5 o'clock, and we were parking in the State Street garage by about 5:30. So we got there at about 6 o'clock. I made him stand there for 4 hours because I am that guy.
I was there. You were talking about it, and I had to think about it for a minute what year I was there. So ironically, you and I were at the same college game day hanging out.
That is interesting, and it's weird how some people cross paths and you never know it until years after the fact. It's like one of our listeners was messaging me last week, might have been this week actually, and he was talking about his time in the military, my time in the military. He was at Fort Benning in basic training in the company, the building across from me at the same time that I was.
That's so crazy. It is really cool. I've had stuff like that happen all the time, and it really is just a cool thing.
And I mean, the thing is, it's not like I'd recognize a guy, because I mean, when you're at Fort Benning, everybody's bald. Nobody has a beard. You all look the same. It is what it is. But enough of that. Do we have any more quotes from anybody in particular?
We do. I don't know which one I should go to first, but I'm going to go ahead and go to my absolute favorite one.
Billy Napier. Overtime interviews, the appropriate bumper, flirting with disaster, because that's all Florida's going to be doing all day tomorrow, is flirting with disaster the whole damn game. And I don't think there's anybody on this broadcast, anybody in this bar, anybody listening to this that would disagree.
Yeah, there's absolutely... They have like, okay, so their best defensive guy, say he is truly coming out.
Right.
And then they have their quarterback who hasn't even thrown a freaking touchdown all year. That's their two best players.
It's like, what do you expect? It's like, how do you expect somebody that has not thrown a single touchdown pass? And his next touchdown pass is going to be his first. And that's what a lot of people need to realize is that Anthony Richardson has not played like a traditional quarterback this year. You know, he's got, I think, 3 rushing touchdowns. Is that correct?
3 rushing touchdowns, 0 passing touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
4 interceptions. Yeah.
He's thrown more interceptions than he has rushing touchdowns. I mean, that's not what you'd expect out of an SEC quarterback.
Literally, all of us in this bar are tied for SEC touchdown passes with Anthony Richardson.
And I don't know if we've talked about this, but Gators linebacker Amari Burney says that they have a good game plan for Hooker and that he can't give away too much.
Really?
Yes.
That is interesting. And we have got a special guest on the mic, T-Car.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Man, we're sitting here living the dream, you know, just hanging out here, get some good beers, hanging out with some cool people.
I'll tell you what, I really love Hobson Hollers. It's been a great experience. Love the fact that we got Cody over here pouring stuff. It's been a great experience, and if you're not out here, get out here.
Absolutely. And T-Carp, you are somewhat close to my age range, and we have seen every way that Tennessee can lose this game. But we've also seen us win games in ways that we shouldn't have. You know, take 2016, for example. You're down 21-3. At halftime, you're down 21-0 to start the game. You come back, you run up 38 in a row. All right, go back to 2004. You miss the extra point, and then you get lucky. Let's call it like this. We got lucky on a personal foul call when Dallas Baker slapped Jonathan Wade. James Woltlake goes down after missing the extra point and just absolutely drills a 50-yarder, and he could have made it 60 with the leg that he got in that.
Absolutely. My biggest thing about this game is I don't think you're going to need a lot of luck. I don't think Florida can score points.
Right.
I don't think Florida has a absolutely world-beater defense. And our offense is, I mean, statistically, what, top five? Is that correct?
Absolutely. I think it's
top three right now.
It's top three. I mean, that's the thing, man, is we got the best you can get.
That's exactly right. So in the past 20 years, statistically, Tennessee is going to win this game or has the best chance to win this game. Defensive-wise, Tennessee may not have the best defense in the world, but I'll give Tim Banks some credit. The guy has done what he needs to do with the players he's got.
Absolutely.
So we look at the Pitt game. We see that we see how many hits on the quarterback. What, 15, 16 hits on the quarterback? Is that correct?
I think so.
It's a lot, yeah.
So Richardson is not going to be your pocket passer. We understand that he's going to run the football everywhere. The book's out on him on getting spies. Kentucky did it. UCF did it. I just don't see him scoring 30, 40 points against the Vols. I see the Vols scoring 30, 40 points. I mean, that's isn't that the name of the game? Score more points than the opponent?
That's what you got to do. You got to score more points than your opponent. That's how you win the ball game.
So my thing is, as a fan for over 20, 30 years, guys, we're overthinking this. I think the Vols are going to go in. You're going to score at least 40 points. I don't see Florida scoring over 30 points. And that's the game. That is the game.
Absolutely. T-Car joining us. We're going to take our final timeout now. We're going to go 25 minutes until we go off the air. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way.
This fall, Blue Water.
Take you into game day. I have former co-host of the Blitz, Brandon Orrick, on with us. What's up, Brandon?
How you doing? How you doing, Jake?
Living the dream, buddy. Just excited about what's happening tomorrow. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to watch because I have to be a friend first and go to a wedding, be in the wedding, and do all that.
However, you can enjoy the game.
I mean, I'm going to be at the game.
Right.
First of all, who is your friend? Why are they getting married on a Saturday in the fall? And why are they getting married on the Saturday of the Florida game?
Hey, I've got it all figured out, man. I have Under Armour and JBL. They did a collab at one point where they made the earbuds. And it looks just like a hearing aid. And I'm going to use the excuse that, hey, guys, I was in the Army for 6 years. You know that earplug lawsuit? Yeah, that was for real. That's why I got to wear this hearing aid.
I think you should have kindly declined the invitation. Well, it's just my opinion. Well, I mean, you know what it is. It's Tennessee, Florida.
I mean, I could have found someone that had COVID and just been like, hey, guys, sorry, I have COVID. Not coming.
Jake, I mean, you keep saying friend first, but what about him being a friend first to everyone else who's wanting to get to this game?
I mean, yeah, you got to have your priorities straight.
Well, let's be honest here for a second. When they planned this wedding, we were not good. We were not good. And we didn't have the schedule yet. And I said, okay.
I mean, I don't know when they planned the wedding, but I mean, you got to know. It's Tennessee, Florida. You just can't do something. It doesn't matter how good they are.
It is what it is, man.
I mean, if it was a road game, that's one thing, but it's at home. Do you see this place? Do you see this place right now?
I see this place right now.
Have you seen this city? It's electric.
It is the most electric I have ever seen it. You know, 2016 was one thing. You know, Ole Miss last year, we talked about that earlier, how it was as rowdy as it was going to get, but there was an anger to it. This year, it's, hey, we're Tennessee. You know, we're going to put on the orange and white. We're going to check our kneeling. We don't have to do the uniform gimmick. We're just going to go out and we're going to whip Florida's ass because that's what Tennessee's supposed to do, and we need to get back to doing that.
Well, I'm glad they're wearing the orange and white. And, you know, I'll say this. I've been hesitant, but I am as confident in a Tennessee win against Florida as I think I've ever been. And it makes me,
it's scary.
It makes me nervous. It makes me uncomfortable that I feel that way about it. But I mean, when you look at the matchups, Tennessee has all the matchups.
We do.
And I mean, besides the history of this game, with Tennessee and Florida, that's all Florida has is the history. And I mean, when they come out and play tomorrow, it would not surprise me at all if they come out and hang with us for the first half. I just think that Tennessee has too much. I don't think they can score with us. I think they struggle too much offensively. And I think Tennessee wins by at least two touchdowns.
See, I'm thinking a little bit more than that. The reason I say that is, you know, we talk about the past. We talk about the history of this rivalry. 16 out of the last 17, we know how it's gone. If there's an orange helmet involved and the Gator script on the side of the helmet, we've heard this story before. And it's happened in every way that it could possibly happen. The one time they wear the white helmet, though, with the blue F on the side of it, we win. That's in the past. And I don't know, you remember Black Ops 1, going into the scene in Zombies in the Pentagon. JFK looks at Fidel Castro and he says, "Those who look only to the past or the present are certain to miss the future. I think the future is tomorrow, and I think Tennessee wins in a big, big way."
No, I mean, I definitely think you're right. I mean, I think this is a golden opportunity for Josh Heupel and the Tennessee program to take a huge step forward. I mean, you're already ahead of schedule.
We should not have went 7-5.
You're on the precipice of the top 10 in year two with a chance to beat your rival, take a huge step forward. You're going into a bye week. And you go on the road to play a – I mean, if you win tomorrow, you're going on the road in 2 weeks to play a decent to pretty good LSU team.
With my family.
And, I mean, it's like this game tomorrow is not do or die for Josh Heupel's tenure here.
But it can catapult him.
But it can catapult him, and it will send a message to this fan base. You got to do it the first time. This is the first – huge game, like the Ole Miss game last year, whatever you want to call it. It was a big game, but this is a crossroads game.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things. If you win this game, I don't know if you're all the way back, but you're pretty damn close. If you win this game, you're pretty much kicking the door down and saying, "Hey, I'm here," and now you just got to go grab it.
I mean, I don't think you're all the way back if you win this game, but it says that we're here. I mean, I still think there are questions on the defense, and obviously they've addressed those needs in recruiting. They've got some nice defensive players coming in that are committed. But this win sends a huge message to the country. Because if you don't win this game, no one's going to take you seriously nationally.
No. All credibility's gone.
You have to win this. This is a credibility game that you have to win if you want to be taken seriously.
Absolutely. Brandon Norick, former co-host of The Blitz. Brandon, thanks so much for coming on, man.
Yep, no problem.
Brandon Norick doing what Brandon Norick does. Now all we just need is Rick Butler and Weston Brown, and then we will have the trio. So, guys, we're getting close. We're getting really, really close. We got about 10 more minutes. I'm going to give you 3 minutes. Each get 3 minutes.
Oh, man.
Say whatever you want. I want to know everything that you have been through with this rivalry, what you expect to see tomorrow, and how it's going to affect the trajectory of the Tennessee football season.
All right. So starting out, something a caller said, I've just got to get this out of the way. Do not storm the field for beating a number 20 Florida team. I don't care that we have won one time in the past however many years. That would look embarrassing. That is a absolute no-go. It's not like you're beating number one. Exactly. It is number 11 beating number 20. Do not do it. I repeat, please blast this through wherever, all through the streets. Do not rush the field. That is not a good look. We want to go in there and expect to win this game. Expect to beat Florida, number one. I think that our guys are ready and prepared to do that with this message. Number two, I am leaning, and I don't like this, but the closer I get, I'm leaning to it being a little bit closer than what I thought it was earlier in the week. I mean, just looking at Anthony Richardson's stats, he has not thrown a touchdown pass all year. I do think it's going to happen tomorrow, and I do think it'll probably happen in the first half. I hope I'm wrong, but we can't just all get all upset and get pissed because he comes out and throws a touchdown. Like, we just all as fans need to get up, stay loud the entire game. I don't care what happens. It's probably going to be a crazy game. There's going to be some weird flukes going on. It always happens every year against Florida. The point is, this team has proven that they can overcome obstacles when they beat Pitt on the road in overtime. This team is different. So do not let up. Be loud as hell for the entire game. And honestly, this is just a completely – I'm like floored with just how excited I am and the energy in Knoxville right now. It is literally not comparable to anywhere else in the country. So I don't know how many – I don't know how long I'm taking, but this is my rant. The other thing is make sure you're there and there early. Like I know everyone's trying to tailgate and stuff like that, but make sure that your ass is – at your seat, but not sitting in your seat the whole game. Yeah, and don't yell at people for standing up. This is UT Florida. And when UT wins tomorrow, Knoxville is going to go off the rails. But again, no storming the field.
All right. We have got one more call that we're going to take tonight. Mark the Ball is up next. What's up, Mark?
Guys, how good does it feel to be the hunter and not the hunted?
Man, it is. It's a great feeling, and this is a feeling that I feel like Tennessee fans have not had in quite a while now. We've been through a lot ever since 2016. You know, you start out that season hot, and then it just collapses, and then it felt like it never got back there ever since that happened. I mean, yeah, we won, I think, what was it, 8 games total in 2019.
Yeah, 8-5.
So we were 8-5. Yeah. I mean, even then, it's like, okay, what do we have here? But now it's like, oh, my goodness, we have a team. Let's go out here. Let's take what's ours. Let's do what a Tennessee football team is capable of doing.
We've got a team. We've got a coach. We've got a fan base that believes in the product that we're getting fed because finally we have something to witness. We have something to buy into. But on top of that, I'm scrolling through on Twitter, Facebook, even Florida's fans are resorting to the past, tweeting about, they literally said, regardless of what happens tomorrow, just remember Florida owns the Vols. Even their own fan base is admitting that they're going to lose tomorrow. These cocky sacks of snake feces are admitting that they're going to lose tomorrow because the Big Orange is not playing around. How ironic is it that we smell blood in the water and we're not even the Reptiles? Tennessee, 45-24. Let's go, Big Orange.
Mark just made a great impact to be our final caller. Thank you so much for the call, Mark. Davis, your time. What's up?
So first off, I want to start with rushing the field and tearing down the goalpost. I'm going to disagree with y'all. I think we do it.
You just want to do it because you know this will be your one chance to do it.
No. Listen, I understand it's not Georgia. We shouldn't rush field for Georgia. Excuse me. We should rush the field for Alabama.
No, let's rush their field.
All right. But if we do this year and this season, if we beat Alabama, absolutely rush the field. But this game, the reason I want to rush the field this game is it's not just about us being expecting to win and beat Florida. We should do that tomorrow, and I'm expecting that to happen. But it's the breakthrough. You win this game, you're breaking through. You're on to bigger and better things. We've been on that, like, going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth for the past 15 years. And if you finally do it tomorrow, I think you're on the road. You're there. You've arrived. You've gone off the exit, on to bigger and better things. And that's my main reason for rushing the field. But like you said, my experiences with being with Florida my entire life has been hell. It's been agony and pain. Like, 2015, us blowing it, being up. 27-14 and them coming back and the 4th-and-16 conversion and Aaron Medley's field goal pushing wide right. I will never forget that. That was one of the darkest nights of my life. And same thing with 2017. I kind of knew Butch was gone, but that was the game I wanted the most. I thought maybe he could get back on track if he won that game.
He could have saved himself.
Exactly. And he just absolutely crapped the bed like usual. But yeah, man, I just, This whole time, the past 15 years, they've owned us. Be honest here. We're 1-16 in the past 17 games against them. But I think tomorrow starts a new beginning. We win tomorrow, it's all different. Like, everything changes. It's a new first-year head coach. He's never coached in the SEC before. He'll get his taste of what it's like to go on the true road SEC game as a head coach. He will get his butt kicked. He doesn't know what to expect. and we're going to absolutely kill them tomorrow. So, and my final prediction is Tennessee 42, Florida Gators 28. And real quickly, like Lo said about Anthony Richardson, he will throw a touchdown pass tomorrow. Can't go on forever. He can't have zero the entire season.
That's fine.
But we've got to bounce back, and we have shown that, like Lo said, with the Pitt game. We've bounced back. We've shown some resiliency, even when things aren't going well. So I would do expect a little bit of an up-and-down game tomorrow, but we pulled away towards the end, and, man, I can't wait. It's going to be great tomorrow.
And what was your prediction again?
God, I have floated back and forth so much. I just told one of our listeners a different prediction.
You said 38-27.
I did. I've narrowed it. I don't know. I'm being wishy-washy. I'm terrible. I don't know what's going on. I don't want to walk in 30. I don't want to walk that in.
We still cover the spread.
Cover the spread. All right. I'm locking it in. I said it. I'm going to have to stick with it. 38-27. Vols win. Cover the spread. That's that.
All right, guys. Like I've said all show, we know what has happened in games prior. I don't care what Will Grier did in 2015. I don't care what Felipe Franks did in 2017. I don't care what Tim Tebow's done, Jeff Driscoll, Treon Harris. I don't care what any of those guys have done to us. I don't care that we've made second and third string Gator quarterbacks look like Heisman candidates. The fact of the matter is we have our own Dark Horse Heisman candidate here in Knoxville, in Hendon Hooker, a guy that is capable of going out, playing the style of ball that he knows how to play, because Josh Heupel, he's not made the players fit the system. He has made the system fit the players, and that's what good coaches do. And that's why I think tomorrow, when we go through that tee out on the Shields Watkins Field, Tennessee, we're going to run through that tee, all right? And Josh Heupel is going to whip that ass up one side of that field and back down the other. Tennessee's going to win tomorrow 49-14. I'm calling it now. I don't care if it is a 35-point spread.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll lock it in. I'll make the bet right now.
Yeah, I mean.
And Lo looked at me. It's like, this guy is nuts.
He's real.
You are consistent, though. But Wednesday, you said 45-10. Tonight, you said 49-14. We're still winning by 35 points.
Well, the reason I changed is because I want to set the record. Like, the most we ever scored against them was 45 in 1990. Right,
yes.
Dang, that is such a bold prediction. I love it. I'm not on that train yet. I am emotionally to just go off the rails, but then mentally I'm like, it's going to be a little bit of a weird game. I know it is. It's just going to be, but we're still going to win, and we're going to cover the spread. And I'm trying to figure out, yeah, with my prediction, we would still hit the over if it's set at 62.5. So.
Yep. Exactly. I don't think tomorrow's going to be a pushover. I get, because I was thinking 45-14 at one point this week. I was in your boat, but I don't think it'll be a pushover. I mean, Florida, you say if they're one, they're a very physical team. I mean, we've seen that over the years. They're not just going to come in here and roll over. So I expect them to put up a little bit of a fight tomorrow, but in the end, I don't really think it's going to matter.
It is what it is. So we will join you on Monday for a victorious edition of Overtime. Marcus, thank you so much, man, for helping out.
Appreciate you guys. Sorry I was flirting with disaster earlier today, but hey, we're all set. We're still here, and go Vols.
That's what we do. We adapt and overcome. Thank you, Lo.
Absolutely. Make sure to tune in tomorrow, too.
Absolutely. Tennessee Tailgate from 9 to 11 tomorrow. Thank you, Davis.
Thank you.
Something else coming up next on WKGN. I will see you Monday on a victorious edition of Overtime right here on Fan Run Radio.
So you're watching the game and you see another ad for FanDuel Sports.